Welcome to SickCast, brought to you by Sick Research Institute, illuminating every path.
Wagyujika Khalsa, Wagyujiki Fateh. My name is Jasleen Kaur, and I'm a research associate at SICRI. And I'm happy to be joined today by Kabir Singh to talk about the civic impact. Welcome, Kabir. How are you, Guru Fateh?
Hi, Guru Fateh, Jasleen. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, I guess just to jump in, maybe you can tell us a little bit about sort of who you are, where you're from, and what your civic track history has been.
Sure. So my name is Kabir Singh. I'm from Vancouver, BC. I've been to SIDIC once before, which was last year, and I was in SICKI 201. Prior to that, I completed my undergraduate degree here in BC. I studied commerce, and I've been working for 2 years since then. And that's kind of my SICRI history or SIDIC history.
Great. How did you find out about SIDIC?
So I'd been following SICRI for quite a while in terms of the online content and the Guru Granth Sahib project, as well as the State of Panth reports and on social media. So I've been familiar with a lot of the work that SICRI does, and it has always been something that I referred to, and I was kind of interested in different parts of Gurbani, or I would always turn to SICRI's resources. And when I saw that SIDIC was open for applications, and I listened to the podcast from last year of people who had attended, I think it kind of gave me some stuff to think about in terms of what the experience was like. And I was pretty apprehensive to apply at first, for sure. It took me a while to like think through it and like really make my decision. But I'm really glad that I did in the end. And yeah, it was a great experience. I just kind of learned about it online and thought about it from there.
That's great. Yeah, I know you took 201 because that's my track. So it was great to have you. What made you choose 201 over like SICKI 101 or Gurbani 101?
That was also, I think, a decision that I took some time to think through. And I ultimately was like stuck between Gurbani 101 and SICKI 201 after looking at kind of the online descriptions of those three tracks and watching those videos that kind of describe what was discussed and covered in the three different tracks. I think in this period in my life right now, I was like really interested in Sikh history. And it's something that I've been thinking a lot about and learning about on my own and over the last, I'd say, 2 years. And so that aspect of SICKI 201 kind of drew me to it as well. It was really hard for me to, I should be honest, to pick between Gurbani 101 and SICKI 201, because they were both things that I was like really, really drawn to. But I think in the end, I kind of almost flipped a coin because I really wasn't sure, you know, what the experience would be like. And I knew I wanted to go. So when I completed my application, I kind of just decided at the last moment between the two. And, you know, I'm hoping to come back one day and go back to Gurbani 101 and hopefully get both of those tracks.
Yeah, that's great. I think, so you mentioned being a little apprehensive. How long, I guess, did it take you to like go through the application process? Because I know for me, I probably took like a week to even like fill it out. I was like, I kept coming back to it. I was like, I don't know if this is something that I even want to do. There was a lot of self-doubt. I spoke in other podcasts about like having a slight, like a little baby mental breakdown before. Mm-hmm. So then just being like, I don't think I know enough to like be in this space. So how did you, and it's okay if you didn't have to even work through that. Like I spoke to Raj Singh and he was like, I was pretty fine about it. But if you were feeling apprehensive, like what did you do to kind of get through that process and sort of convince yourself that like, okay, I think I can do this?
I definitely had that experience. What you described like really resonated with me. It took me much longer than a week though. It took me way too long. If I think back, I wish I had just like kind of just done it right away. It took me quite a while. I would like step away from the application and come back like a week later. I think it was a lot of the same things you mentioned, like having this kind of like self-doubt of like, do I know enough? How is it going to be? I think a lot of that comes from just not having gone to a lot of Sikh camps to begin with as a teenager and like kind of in the recent past. And I think a lot of it also comes from not being familiar with what Civic actually is like. Mm-hmm. And so not knowing anyone who's going, not having gone there before, there's a lot of questions that arose in my mind around like what the environment would be like, how I would perform in that kind of environment, and like what to expect, I guess. I think ultimately I knew that I like really wanted to go. I think the fact that I kept coming back to the application and thinking about it over a long period of time, to me, indicated that it's something that I should try. And I didn't really have a reason to say no. You know, it was 2 weeks. It was something that I could commit to. And so I ultimately decided to apply based off of that, because I was like, I think my brain's trying to convince me of reasons not to go, but none of them are really sticking. So I don't know if that's like the intuitive way to get to that decision, but it worked out for me, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think that's real. And I think it's like probably the most common experience I've heard is people having that like sort of struggle in even just like getting the application in. And I think it's kind of, I think it kind of means that we know what we don't know, which is like a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would assume that if you were like sort of overly confident going into it, then there's like that's kind of a symptom of maybe thinking that you already know everything, and that's not the best place to be at. Mm-hmm. So, I guess you sort of alluded to this, but what did you expect Civic to be like? Because you said like you had no kind of, like gauge of like what it would be like. But what were you thinking? Because I also did not grow up going to like sick camps. And I know that like, this is not a camp, it's a leadership program, but I definitely like before the week before Civic was thinking of it as if it would have that kind of like camp dynamic of like, I'm gonna go to a place, they're gonna tell me like what to think and how to think, and it's going to be like very closed, because I had gone to like one sick space as like a high schooler and I was like, oh, that's not for me. And so that was kind of what I was expecting, which I think also led to a lot of anxiety about like, okay, do I even know enough to be there? Like, what if everybody quote unquote finds out that I don't know a lot? So I definitely was expecting a much more like closed off space, that didn't allow for like questions or like conversations. And I just was wondering like what you were thinking before you actually got there and saw what it was like.
Yeah, I think I had a lot of similar thoughts. I think my experience in the past with like sick spaces is that they tend to be very prescriptive in terms of like, this is the idea that ideas we want you to think about. Want you to think about it in this particular way. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of like expected to go along with a lot of things, and there isn't necessarily the same space given to having lots of open-ended questions and discussion. I went in with a really open mind, I should say, when I came into Civic. I didn't really have an expectation built up around what it would be, because I really had nothing to base that off of. So I wanted to just like let it happen and figure out like as things unfold what it's like. But I was really, really happy that that's not at all what Civic was like for me. I think it was always a very like open and welcoming space. It was great to see so many people from very different backgrounds, all different ages. And I think that was pretty unique just to begin with, because everyone comes with very unique life experiences coming from all over. That creates an environment that's much more open, much more welcoming and accepting. And I think the way that, I mean, you facilitated 201, so the way that it was facilitated was actually really, really helpful and conducive to that kind of discussion, because there was lots of space for those questions. And the facilitators and TAs come in with this kind of impression that they're not, you know, they don't know everything. They're not coming here to just lecture and give you an understanding. They come at it with obviously lots of experience, and they're very, knowledgeable about what they're speaking about, but at the same time, they want to create an environment that welcomes questions, and they want to facilitate a discussion. That's the whole point. And so even in the classroom setting, having people of various opinions, like having that space open to talk about those different opinions or background information that people are bringing to the table, and creating a space where it's not like combative. We're not trying to debate every single thing. It's more of like learning from one another and trying to create a space where we can think about these questions or these parts of NCQ 201, you know, Sikh history or Gurbani from various perspectives. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very refreshing. And I'm very glad that that's the kind of environment that it creates, because you learn way more that way.
Yeah, no, that I could not have said it better. I think we just had like a facilitators meeting this past week, and we were talking about, you know, what keeps us coming back to Siddhik, because not everybody who facilitates and TAs there is like a full-time employee at Sikri. So like these are people who like are doing this because they love to do it, and it's a commitment that they've made. And every single person who talked about like why they come back talked about how much they learn as facilitators, because every year you're like dealing with a completely different group of people, maybe even a completely different set of questions, depending on like where you're at in your own Sikhi journey as a facilitator even. And I always find that like I walk away having learned something, or having had some kind of like, yeah, some kind of direction to my questions, not necessarily like an answer, but some kind of like understanding of how to think through things with people and by myself, like outside of Siddhik. And it's also why we don't call ourselves teachers. It's why we're called facilitators. And I think that's something that maybe it's hard for people to adjust to, who like maybe have been in spaces where it's more like didactic of like, I'm going to tell you what it is there. This is prescriptive. And it's more like, okay, how can we as equals, like think through something together and struggle through things together in a way that is like nuanced and compassionate and allows for like conversation where we're disagreeing sometimes. Sometimes I think that that's like something that maybe not everybody always is immediately comfortable with, because if you grow up being used to like asking a question and getting a concrete answer of like, this is how you should think about it, not getting that can be kind of frustrating. And I've seen that like with Siddhikers in especially the first week, where they'll be like, okay, but like, how should I think about this? Or what is the answer to this? And they're usually met with like a series of questions. From and that can be like hard, because you just want somebody to tell you what to think and how to think. And I think for a lot of people that requires some discomfort, and it's a discomfort that allows for growth, but it's definitely a discomfort. Yeah, I guess sort of along that line, what we talk a lot about, like, okay, at Siddhik you're unlearning things, and depending on the year I've unlearned different things, and I'm still kind of chipping away at my own sort of preconceived notions, biases, whatever. And like the first year that I went, it was about unlearning my own anxiety or chipping away at my own anxiety about belonging, and being sort of quote unquote allowed in Sikh spaces, being quote unquote Sikh enough, Punjabi enough. Even though I was like an employee at Sikri, like I was still struggling with those things. And that first year at Siddhik as an employee, because I did go when I was 18, but when I went as like a 22-year-old, I definitely had to kind of come to terms with the discomfort I felt in certain Sikh spaces, and also I had to understand that like I didn't need permission from anyone to like be there and to be engaging in this, in my personal Sikh journey and also in this work, right? So like that was my first sort of big unlearning that had to happen. And then I talked about this in the last podcast with Ivraj, but like when I went the second time as a facilitator, or I guess the third time total, second time as a facilitator, I was so sort of hyper aware of like how people perceived me based on my the externalization of my Sikhi, right? Like we're a group of people who have external identifiers that we use to gauge sort of the quote unquote, like, forgive my like crassness, but like the level of people's Sikhi.
Good Sikh or bad Sikh, Jasleen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, literally. And I think I was really, really thinking about that, because people had said certain things to me over that year working at Sikri, not my coworkers, but just like people in the community. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just like really was struggling with that. And I came to Siddhik, and that year, I think there was like an unprecedented number of people who had like very much external identifiers, like lots of Amritdhari Sikhs, lots of Sikhs who were who were part of like particular schools of thought, had their own particular practices. And I really had to understand that like the same way that I didn't want people to like look at me and gauge my Sikhi based on how I looked, I also shouldn't be doing that to other people. Like nobody wants that. And I think I really never thought of it from like the angle of somebody who externally like looks quote unquote like more Sikh, right? And so I was having these conversations with people who are Amritdhari, who are like, the same way that you have that sort of issue with people interpreting your Sikhi one way, like sometimes we feel like we can't say when we're struggling because of the way that we look. People expect that like, because we've taken Amrit, everything is just like fine and good and we don't struggle with anything. And that was a big like wake up call for me. And it maybe feels simple now, but like I really had to unlearn those things as a facilitator in order to even like engage with the 201 like class in a way that was like helpful for all of us. So yes, long-winded, but like I wanted to ask what sorts of things that you like felt yourself kind of having to actively unlearn or just like think through in a new way over your 2 weeks there. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing some of the things that you were unlearning. I think even in hearing the things that you spoke about, it kind of reminded me of things that I had thought through and have like since Siddhik and during those 2 weeks have been in the process of unlearning for sure. And I say that because to answer your question, there's like, I think a lot of things that you are forced to think about in a new way. And in the process, you're kind of unpacking assumptions or preconceived notions that you have from the way that you grew up. And like the six that you saw from the particular place that you're from, that creates kind of a perspective that you have to chip away at and trying to figure out what's at the core of this. I think if there's one large kind of thing that I unlearned in those 2 weeks that I hadn't really thought about previously is that it's okay to have doubts and be unsure. And it's okay to, for like your feelings to waver a little bit around Sikhi. I think I always felt a lot of shame because of that, because I would see people around me, at least externally, who are, you know, kind of like you said, they present very Sikh, and you assume that they, you know, they have it all figured out and they never have doubts and they're just so committed and so faithful. But for me, I never felt that way. I'd always had periods of like, is this for me? Like, am I Sikh enough? Am I Punjabi enough? The things that you mentioned, right? Those are all things that people often feel, especially growing up, you know, outside of Punjab. And I think through those 2 weeks, by meeting people from all sorts of like different stages of their life, but also different stages of their like Sikhi, and having experienced different things and people being willing to share those experiences, I learned that it's okay to have doubts. It's okay to have questions, and we shouldn't run away from that, right? We shouldn't just rely on kind of one prescriptive way to live our lives and be like, okay, if I'm not following this list of rules, then I need to just put all my questions aside and just focus on those, you know, those rules that I'm supposed to live by. And I think ever since then, it is a little bit scary and unsettling to like go into this, the rest of my kind of journey, knowing that like you kind of have to lean into the doubt sometimes and understand why you're the feeling the way that you are, and then trying to like work through that. It's a lot more work that way. It's much easier just to be like, don't question, don't doubt, just do it. But that's, I think, one big thing that I started to unlearn during those 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's actually, yeah, dead on for me too, because I actually, okay, it's very much like a tangent, but I'll try to keep it short. But like we released the Bhagat Ramanand Shabad like a few months ago. And the whole, and I know that we've talked about this in kind of like our post-Siddhik conversations with a larger group, but like that Shabad is really like something that I keep coming back to, because it's sort of this story, or it is this story of a man who had his own paradigms and had his own ideas of what it meant to be like religious and in connection with divinity. And it was very much like ritual based. And he, you know, he was like an influential teacher in one of the six schools of Hindu philosophy, had a lot of influence as like a Brahmin and as a teacher. And the Shabad is him kind of coming to terms with the fact that like something is not clicking for him anymore. And the sort of way of being that he had been, yeah, engaging in for his entire life, and like the thing that gave him influence and power was just not something that resonated with him anymore. And he had to like have the experiences he had and come to that realization on his own. And then like sit with the discomfort of those questions of like, okay, if I don't feel this presence when I'm visiting a pilgrimage place or engaging in ritual or living in relationship with idols, then like what can change? And instead of ignoring that, he like unpacks it in this Shabbat. And he kind of said, I mean, this is not exactly the translation, but he kind of says like, if I did truly still believe that like the divine was in those stone idols and was in those pilgrimage places, like I would still be in relationship to those things. But like, I don't believe that anymore. Like the guru has shown me that like the presence is within me. And so like, all I see now are like stones and water. In the places that there used to just that there used to be idols and pilgrimage places, like through which to cleanse. And I think something that I've been thinking a lot about is how maybe as a community we are afraid of doubt and afraid of questioning because we think it somehow makes our sikhi weaker. Especially when I think about like parents and the anxieties of parents that they've kind of like let us know about in different scenarios, right? Yes. Like, how do I package my sikhi for my kid? How do I keep my kid on this path? And because there is anxiety around a sort of weakening of sikhi or like, sort of a slippery slope of like, if they ask too many questions then they're never going to be a sikh. I think that like that comes up a lot, and Bhagat Ramanand shows us how to lean into that doubt and how actually leaning into that doubt and thinking through those questions, causes you to make a conscious choice and a conscious effort, instead of just kind of going through the motions of like religiosity in whatever, you know, way that looks like for you. And I think through Siddhik, what you were talking about in terms of like leaning into the doubt, that is something that I really feel strongly about like that space, is because you have a space with so many people who are struggling in some way, because that is like the human thing. And even like facilitators will be really open about that, of like periods of feeling separated from their own sikhi journey or feeling far away. And you're like in a space that's like deeply non-judgmental. People are being very vulnerable because you're together for 2 weeks. And it actually makes all of that feel way less scary. So like when I left Siddhik when I was 22, and I absolutely was dealing with like the anxiety of feeling separated and the like beating myself up about it, the guilt about it, I finally understood that like, one, everybody I was around those 2 weeks had that experience in some way. And because I understood that that was actually not a thing to be afraid of, when I was still experiencing sort of the motions of like longing and union and separation in the way that we like hear about it in Bani, I wasn't like deeply anxious about it anymore. And it actually like makes a huge difference to like how you are compassionate with yourself and how you even like conceive of your sikhi journey to understand that all of those, like the motions of all of that, that's all also part of this. I think that's like, yeah, that really resonated with me, so thanks for that. Sorry to go on a tangent again.
No, I think that was really good. I think I also, when you were speaking, I was thinking about how I related to a lot of that too, and the specific Bhagat Ramanand reference that you made as well. And I think when I, yeah, leaning into the doubt is really scary for me, at least. I think it's difficult, but I'm doing it, I'm learning that it's kind of like me recommitting to myself in a way. Because if you're afraid of the doubt, then you're just afraid of asking questions and you never get that chance to really like think through things more deeply and more critically, which I think is really important to everyone's individual journey. So
yeah,
just one last point to add.
Yeah, no, that's great. Okay, I am gonna ask you this question, okay. Which, no pressure, but like it doesn't have to be a favorite memory, but just like a memory that sticks out to you of like something at Siddhik that happens outside of the classroom or happened outside of the classroom. obviously, we know Simeon and Raj both said stargazing. That's pretty up there for me.
Everyone was a fan of that.
Everyone was a fan of that. But I think, like, yeah, we talk a lot about, like, what we learn in the classroom. I think so much of Civic, though, is also about, like, the relationships you form with people outside of the classroom, the discussions you have, the things that you think through together, even with people from other tracks. And I know, like, for 201, we had had the session, I don't even remember what session it was, but it was in week two, towards the end of Civic. Like, there were a couple days left. And somehow we started talking about BIDB, because it was, like, related to current events, and it had been on my mind a lot. And we ran out of time, and so we, like, ended up all going to the Lunger Hall for lunch and, like, sitting in a circle and talking about it, which I was like, oh, wow. this is kind of, like, great to be able to, like, think through these things together, even though it's not necessarily, like, part of the curriculum. Mm-hmm. And that, like, was a pretty core memory for me of just, like, getting to think through things I had been thinking about for months. And, you know, I thought about with my coworkers, and now I could think about with the people that I had known for those 2 weeks. And everybody was asking, like, really good questions. I don't know. It was just, like, such a good conversation. And I even think some people from other tracks came and joined us, which was nice. So yeah, it's, like, things like that. And it's also things like just, like, hanging out in Lunger Hall and, like, meeting people and learning about their lives. But yeah, I wanted to ask about the, like, outside of the classroom experience that really, like, stuck with you, or one of the outside of the classroom experience.
Yeah, there were definitely a lot. I think a lot of the most, like, important moments for me happened outside of the classroom, for sure. Mm. Not to say that the moments of the classroom weren't really important. They both are really awesome. But I think, yeah, there's just so many to choose from. I think it's also a very, I should be open and honest about my experience, that it was hard for me to be that vulnerable for 2 weeks around so many of these people I'd never met before. It's emotionally, can be a lot. For me, it was, like, pretty emotionally draining, and I needed moments of time where I could step away from that. And I think the way that Civic is set up allows for that as well, because there's, like, dedicated time in the classroom, but there is a lot of free time. And so you can just kind of, like, step away if you need to. You can go on a walk, you can stay in your room, you can do whatever. And I really appreciated that. But also, in a lot of those free time, kind of, like, spontaneous moments, is when you meet a lot of people, and you learn things that you wouldn't have learned otherwise. And I think for me, it's not, like, necessarily a particular lesson, but I learned a lot about myself just through going through that experience of being so vulnerable and then having to face a lot of those emotions in such, like, a, yeah, in a setting where, you know, I'm not at home, not, like, in my quote unquote safe space. I'm in, like, this completely new setting around people I've never met before. And I remember this one particular moment. It was probably in the last 3 or 4 days, so the end of the second week. And it had already been pretty intense, kind of, week and a half before then. And one of the sessions, it was with all three of the tracks in one room, and it was being facilitated all together. And it just, like, became a lot for me, and I just needed to step away. So I just, like, got up from my table, went to the back of the room, and walked outside. And I was just kind of staring off into the forest on my own. And I turned around, and someone, like, one of my friends I'd made earlier in the week, came over and just, like, said, "Do you want a hug?" And, like, came over and hugged me. And it was one of those moments I just felt so supported to know that, you know, even in this moment where I feel so overwhelmed, and I have the space to kind of, like, process that emotion, but I know that if I need people to lean on, I have that as well. And that was kind of, like, a really standout moment for me as someone who came in not having any expectations of what this place would be like. And to step away with friends like that, I think, is very, very indicative of what Civic was like.
Yeah. Okay. I know this is a podcast, but everyone should know I am misty-eyed. Yeah. You know, that's also the support that you get from people who, like, literally have only known for, like, less than 2 weeks is crazy to me. Because I also remember, like, in one of our really difficult 201 discussions, that was about, like, 84, post-84, maybe the session on, like, sick militant and stuff, I got emotional facilitating.
Mm-hmm.
Got a text from, like, one of, like, the students in 201 being like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, oh, I just, like, I guess I didn't expect that, because I was supposed to be, like, facilitating, and I kind of, I was affected, but that wasn't even somebody that I was, like, super close with during the 2 weeks. Like, I thought that they were great, but like we weren't hanging out a ton outside of the classroom. And I do think that like as emotionally draining as it can be to be that vulnerable, because I'm with you there. I mean, every year I think that I have to kind of, you know, take some time to myself. It's why people go on like so many walks. but it's like there is this sort of gentle reminder from people that like, should you want to talk, should you want to sit together quietly, should you want to walk in silence or whatever, like there are people who will do that with you. And like, I just think it's such a special thing. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I think we will maybe end now because I know we're running out of time, but I did want to say, like, if anybody has questions about Civic, you can email me at jaslyn.gore@sicri.org, or you can visit sicri.org/civic, and most of your questions will probably be answered there. The application is also already online, so please do take a look at that when you can. Take your time if you need it. And I hope to see a lot of you this summer for Civic 2023. Thank you so much, Kabir. This was so nice. And I hope people found this conversation helpful and maybe a little inspiring if they needed a little bit of a nudge to open that application. Thank you. Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa,
Waheguru Ji Ki Fatah.
You are listening to SickCast by Sick Research Institute, illuminating every path.